Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
It is rare in this business that when you have someone in broadcasting where they have a legendary voice, which West Virginia did for years in the legendary Jack Fleming, and Jack did the Bulls, and yes, the Steelers for such a long time. When you see Franco Harris's Immaculate Reception, that is Jack Fleming's voice. Well, he was the voice of West Virginia for a long time. Big shoes to fill. Well, the guy that stepped in has now ascended that same level with what he's done at West Virginia. That's the outstanding Tony Caridi. Tony, welcome. It is so great to have you on the show.
Same here, Steve. It's my pleasure to be with you, and I appreciate it.
All right, so let's start with this. There are 14 transfers that could play a role somewhere with West Virginia this year. What has it taken for Neil Brown to really remake this roster into one that he thinks can move the program forward?
Well, certainly a good question, and I think the answer to that is, as you know, Steve, this transfer portal world that we've been in here now for several years, I think schools have tried to figure it out. Do you go with accomplished players at a lower level and cross your fingers and hope that they can rise to this level and be productive? Or do you go the other side of it and do you go a Power 5 player, obviously, that's either played a lot or has started in the past, but sometimes not a starter, but a guy that may have been behind a really good player, and take your chances there? I think that Neil's done it a couple of different ways since he's been here, now leaning more toward, you know, a little bit higher level of competition when he brings a guy in. I think a couple of those guys that he's brought in, for example, Devin Carter from North Carolina State, a wide receiver who will play on Saturday night. Another guy out of the Big Ten Conference, Beanie Bishop, was a backup cornerback from the University of Minnesota. I think probably like a salt reference, we're going to sprinkle those guys in like salt. I don't think they have to come in and play massive roles for this team to be successful, but I do think they are a needed piece to what this team could have this season.
Which then brings me to the next part. And I think I mentioned to you this when we talked this morning. It was in the context of an answer, and I said something about it looks to me like when I watch tape, the strength of the football team's your offensive line. It sounded like Neil echoed that today. What's your thought on that group up front, which is a veteran group?
It's a great question. So here's what happened, Steve. When Neil Brown took over, and this is his fifth season, the offensive line was absolutely deplete of what you need to play with at this level. There was one player on the entire roster that he inherited that was drafted into the NFL within that first 3 years that he was here, i.e. guys that he inherited. And that one player was the left tackle, Colton McKivitz, who's played several seasons now for the San Francisco 49ers. The point is, he started from scratch. So over the course of the previous four seasons, he put this line together. Coincidentally, and difficult to do, but three of those starters on the offensive line are from right here in West Virginia, and two and maybe all three of them are going to have a chance to play in the NFL. The left tackle is Wyatt Milam, the center is Zach Frazier, and one of the other tackles is Doug Nestor, and they all three have an opportunity. So now he went from zero to going into Saturday's game. They've got a little over 130 career starts among that group, and it has become the strength of the team after really being the biggest weakness on the team.
Which then brings me to running back. There's four guys that can play there, but it looks like C.J. Donaldson is a guy that a lot of fans should take a look at. When you see number four out there, what do you see in him that allows him to be a really good back that fits with this offensive line?
What stands out is that he's unique for a back. You know, he doesn't look like the running backs that we see on a regular basis, because a year ago when he came into this program, he was a tight end. And just on a, hey, let's give him a chance last summer's camp, let's give him a chance and see what he can do at running back. And everyone thought they had recruited a tight end. And instead, they started him in running back spot during preseason camp in August. We go and play at Pitt last year, and he explodes. And the only thing that stopped him during the course of the season was injury. He had a significant concussion against Texas. He then suffered a bad break against TCU late in the season. It required surgery, which has shelved him. He returns this Saturday. But he's a big guy, Steve, 240 pounds, which, as I said, we just don't see those guys. But in addition to him, you've got another couple of guys that have played quality football, Justin Johnson and Jalen Anderson. Mm-hmm. Each of the three have all run for over 100 yards in a game in their career. So I would say that, you know, they've got depth, legitimate depth, at that running back position.
And not only that, there's a youngster there, a freshman, and then, of course, a lot of people will be interested in the freshman, Rodney Gallagher, at wide receiver. What's your thoughts on that, and also the Ray kid?
Yeah, so good, you're on it, buddy. So those two players, Traylon Ray and Rodney Gallagher, we'll do Rodney Gallagher first. Rodney Gallagher, you know, great recruiting story in that at one time he was ranked the number one player in the nation as a basketball player, and, you know, played on LeBron James's son's team, and he was highly acclaimed, but stuck with football. And he's just from, you know, he's Uniontown, Pennsylvania, so just over the border from us here, and highly sought after. And so I think he has surprised WVU coaches because I think they thought all along he was going to be a really good player, but they didn't think he was going to be really good right off the bat because just physically, you know, it takes time. But he's got that great twitch, and I think that's kind of what's going to separate him. And Neil said earlier today during his press conference that he definitely will see action on special teams, but he'll probably be in the mix as well, running routes as a slot receiver. The other one is Traylon Ray, and he looks the part, and he's got really nice size, and he's just one of those guys that during the course of preseason camp just continued to show himself in scrimmages and making plays, and you kind of start looking around and you go like, wait a second, who's that? That's the Ray kid. That's the Ray kid. Right. And so he's making plays. Now, does that translate into Saturday night success or September success? I don't know. You know, they're freshmen. It takes a little bit of an adjustment period. But sometime, whether it's this season or a year from now, those guys are going to become very impactful players.
West Virginia knows its starting quarterback. The team knows its starting quarterback. But they're not going to release who it is, which is the prerogative of Neil Brown. And they're not going to release a depth chart this week. And Penn State doesn't release one either. So, okay. But when you look at the two guys that are primarily there, starting with Garrett Green, what does each bring to the table that fans in Beaver Stadium should be looking at?
Probably the ability to make plays if the play isn't there, or to run plays specifically designed for the quarterback. What West Virginia has not had in a good while now has been a quarterback that can extend plays with their feet. And as you know, in this game today, you really need to. You have to be. And especially going back to our offensive line woes over the previous couple of seasons, man, was it badly needed. I think both Garrett Green and Nico Markiel both have the ability to do that. Green, perhaps more so. I think Nico can be a competent guy that can run out of the pocket, extend a play, extend a drive, look downfield. But I think Garrett Green has big boy speed. You know, he's one of those guys that has clocked in over, you know, 20, 21 miles per hour on the GPS. So when he goes, he can go. You know, that's probably the biggest change at quarterback, and that's the biggest thing that I think Mountaineer fans are interested in seeing is what does a Neil Brown offense look like with a quarterback that can make plays with his feet, because we just have not had that up until this point in the previous four seasons.
So what are you seeing from this group defensively? You mentioned Beanie Bishop from Minnesota, and he'd start out Western Kentucky, then he went to Minnesota, so Penn State's seen him before. Cobb from Buffalo has been brought in as well. And Marcus Floyd. What do you see in that defense that makes West Virginia better, especially in a conference like the Big 12 where offense, for the most part, is dominated? At least until the last couple of years ago, defenses in the Big 12 have been a lot better.
So, two parts to your answer. I think that just from a talent perspective, the coaches feel that the level of talent has increased, improved from where it was a year ago. And I think the second part of it is, Steve, we just had a really difficult time last season, and I think it was paralysis by analysis that these guys just weren't properly getting in pre-snap alignment, and as a result, you had yourself some significant issues. They have strived in this offseason to do several different things, but one of the biggest objectives starting back in the spring was, you know, simplify it down so that we're playing football and rather not thinking about playing football. So that was object number one, was to pre-snap alignment, be where you're supposed to be, and let guys just not overthink it. I think the second part of it is, and we'll see how this test goes on Saturday, but the second part of it is, you know, just the overall ability to be extremely physical and to successfully tackle. Now, you know, we've known each other for a ton of years, more than we want to admit, right? And so through the years, right, West Virginia's defense, while not always being the most talented on the field, after it was over, people knew that they played West Virginia, right? It was that blue-collar, just hammer people, lunch pail, Don Nealon mentality, we're going to be physical. Well, as you know, the game has changed significantly. You can't even hit like you used to be able to hit, and that's probably a good thing for the overall health of the game of football going forward. But we collectively, West Virginia, I don't play, but the West Virginia collectively, you know, we need to get back that physicality, which I think has really lacked, you know, especially last season. If it's anything, we've got to be just hard-nosed and tough. Now, you know, with your two dudes running that football, it's going to be the ultimate challenge. I started thinking about this earlier today, actually, after we talked this morning, and that was the fact that this is kind of like, for West Virginia schedule-wise, this is a NASCAR season. Like, we're starting with the Daytona 500 in the sense that this is probably the single most talented team that we'll see for the course of the year. You never know how things are going to shake out, but at least on paper, it's not even close. Sure. And so, to me, you're gonna have to bring it full throttle from the first game. And so that's what they focused on. They focused on, you know, making tackles. Your guys are unbelievable in yards after contact, especially with the running backs. And so that, to me, is going to be the biggest thing. Are you pre-snap aligned? When you have the opportunity to make an open field tackle, are you securing and bringing that ball carrier down? Those are the biggest things for me.
There'll be two former Penn State players on the West Virginia side. That would be Fatorba Molba at defensive tackle, and it's Spear, which is a combination outside linebacker safety, and Lance Dixon. How have each progressed in your mind?
I think in the case of Dixon, and you probably know this, right, a guy that has all of the credentials and has been highly touted, you know, at times, you know, he has stood out. At other times, he just kind of been there. To be quite honest with you, they are hoping that he finally gets to that point where he's just a consistent guy every single Saturday, that he's out there and he's making plays. But has ability, and just fingers are crossed that it is a consistent display. They really need him to play extremely well.
What does it mean to the fans in the state of West Virginia that they have both Pitt and Penn State on the schedule this year, regardless of result? I mean, we'll see how it plays out, but they have them both back.
Oh, I think they – I mean, as you know, the regionality of college sports is really the essence of college sports. It's why we love college sports, was, you know, through the years – geographically being close to one another to play in these games, because invariably, right, we've got Penn State alums that live in West Virginia and vice versa, and, you know, that's what makes college sports. And it obviously has just become diluted. And so, to answer your point, yeah, they love it. They absolutely love playing these schools. However, here comes the big however. Our schedule has not been well thought out. And I said this a decade ago when they started adding these games to the non-conference schedule. Here's the reality of it. You get three non-conference games as a member of the Big 12 Conference. Right. And West Virginia now has been playing two Power 5 teams among those three non-conference games. Right. That's absolutely ludicrous. We were one of two schools in the country last year that played 11 Power 5 schools. That's one thing. And now for the third consecutive year, we're opening on the road at a Power Five. We've got Maryland, Pitt, and now Penn State. That's just silly. That's nonsense. I'm all for playing traditional rivals. I say we play one a year, whoever it is, if it's Pitt, Penn State, Virginia Tech, Maryland, whoever it is, play one of them. The other two, you schedule accordingly, teams that you know you probably have a really good chance to win, and you take your shot, and you come out of your non-conference 2-1 or 3-0, and then you go swing it in the league and see what you do. But right now, we've been overscheduled, and it's not been wise.
Yeah, and you have to be smart about how you go about it. You have to realize the pathway in front of you. And from a college football playoff point of view, when Washington made it in 2016 and their non-conference was Portland State, Idaho, and Rutgers, that was the indication to everybody that, hey, just go out and win your conference games.
Exactly.
Okay, obviously the Big 12 has been ultra-aggressive in expansion. They were able to stay relevant and alive after Texas and Oklahoma announced they were leaving by getting Houston, Cincinnati, UCF, and BYU. Now in the latest round, the return of Colorado to go with Utah, Arizona, Arizona State. Your thoughts on, and you and I, this is something he and I already have talked about this today, but Tony's gearing up to for that short jaunt over to Tucson.
Yeah, so you're asking me what I think of it?
Yeah.
So here's, I think I gave you half the answer already. You know, as a traditionalist, it bums me out that you're not playing these regional rival games, that's why people get excited. Okay, that's fine. The other part of it is that this is morphed from college athletics, and this is professional sports right now, both on the basketball side and on the football side. And so in order to be in the game, in order to have the proverbial seat at the table, you know, you had to play along with this or otherwise you would have gotten left out. When West Virginia made the move to the Big 12 Conference, and this will be our 12th season in the Big 12, it was a result of both Syracuse and Pitt departing from the Big East to go to the ACC. Big East became vulnerable, and we needed a safety net. Had we not reached the safety net of the Big 12, you know, invariably we could have been left out and you could have become what Connecticut is suffering through right now. And you saw the absolute demise of their football program after they played, you know, in a Fiesta Bowl. So it worked. You have to play the game. And I'll say this about the Big 12 Conference. Other than the geography, other than being up until this point the closest rival, so to speak, was Iowa State, which is like, you know, 800 miles away from Morgantown. Other than that, it's a wonderful fit. And by that I mean the conference is made up primarily of land-grant institutions. And so Kansas State fans and Oklahoma State fans and Oklahoma fans and Texas Tech fans and, you know, Iowa State fans, they're West Virginia fans. I mean, that's their thing. Very similar from a mission standpoint of the universities. Geography, no. Level of competition, it's been wonderful. You know, the round robin up until this most recent expansion of bringing in the other four schools, you play everyone in your conference twice, home and away, in on-campus gyms. It was fantastic. Geography, yeah, but again, it's the price to pay if you want to be in this business, and this is where we are right now.
Yeah, it certainly is. Tony, appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you tonight as well on your show, and that'll be a lot of fun. He and I go back 39 years, is that right?
Yeah, this is my 40th season covering WVU.
Yeah.
Yep. Amazing.
Remember that comment he made about we've known each other longer than we care to admit? That could be it. My friend, thanks so much. All the accolades you've received, you've earned. So we congratulate you on that because you've earned them.
Thanks so much, Steve. My pleasure. It's great to be with you. We'll chat with you this evening.